And we're talking about baptism this morning. And, you know, we asked last week, does the Catholic Church baptize babies? And the only time you find, you find children come to Jesus, but they never baptize them. Jesus never baptized them. And you find, and we got different religions that teach baptismal regeneration. And they teach that you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, how many of you in this room right now could give me the seven baptisms in the Bible? Anybody could give me the seven baptisms? There are seven baptisms in the Bible. You can give them to me. Anybody? Ken says he can. Anybody else? If you only know a few, that's fine. Just if you know a few, raise your hand. You know a few, okay? It's not a trick question. There's a baptism. There are three baptisms in two verses in the Bible, and that was the baptism of John. And then you had John explaining the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism and of fire. And you know what fire is, a baptism of hell fire. Now, that's in John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. No, it ain't John chapter 11, excuse me. Am I in the right place here? Oh. No, it's Matthew. What am I thinking? Matthew. Just popped in my head. Go to Matthew. I'm sorry. I'm thinking John. I'm looking at a paper saying John. John 3. Yeah. Chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I keep saying Matthew chapter 3. And John's baptizing, and how many of y'all could you tell me about John's baptism? Anybody could tell me something? Tell me something about John's baptism. Yeah, Brother Eric. John's baptism was to prepare the nation of Israel to receive their Messiah. Nobody's ever seen people baptizing. And you got Naaman in the Bible that was baptized. He baptized himself, and he got healed. And see, a lot of churches teach that baptism is their salvation, and which is not true. You got Mormons teach baptism. We went through that about 1 Corinthians 15. They teach a baptism of the dead. So you can be baptized for your dead loved ones. And that way you get them into heaven. Can you imagine that? You know, they're in hell, and all of a sudden, boom, they get out of there. And they teach that junk. And that's a lie, that baptism. That's a lie. But in John chapter 3, look at verse 1. We talked about this before. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Y'all know the difference between the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is physical. The kingdom of God is spiritual. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus Christ was on this planet, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven were together. He was the kingdom of God. And then in Genesis, before the sin entered in the garden, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven together. One day, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is going to be together again in the millennium. And that's going to be in the millennium. Now, since the kingdom of God was taken out in Genesis, and then it was when Jesus Christ shows up, the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven together, they're one together, because you find through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And you'll find that. But now that you're saved, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. So you're walking around, if you're saved in this room, you're walking around, you got the kingdom of God inside you. That's when you're saved, you got the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is inside you. So when you tell people how to get saved, they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they get the kingdom of God. They get their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible says if you're saved here, you're washed in the blood, your name's already written down in heaven. And then the Bible says that you're already seated there. That's wild. You've got a place at the table already. The way God sees it, you're already there. You're there. So when the rapture takes place, it ain't going to be like, I got to get some stuff ready before you come. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boom, out of here. And when God sees it, you're already sitting in heaven if you're saved. So you know how many people believe that in the world? Not very many, because they don't believe the Bible. And Bible-believing Christians believe that because it's in the Word of God. And there's Christians today all over this land, maybe 10% of them believe in eternal security out of all the Christians in the world. I'm not talking about Catholics. I'm not talking about people that claim they're Christian. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians that know that you can't lose your salvation. And there's a lot of religions that, a lot of Christians that believe they can lose their salvation. So John comes along. John's preaching the baptism of repentance, showing, looking forward to their Messiah to come. He's looking for the Messiah. And that's what they're doing. They say, okay, we're ready for the Messiah. We're ready. And we want to get our lives together. And the Lord was dealing with the nation of Israel as a whole. And so, and look at this. Let's read on down. He says, for this he did that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out all to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I mean, they were out there getting baptized and saying, "Hey, man, they're confessing." And it says, "And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said on them, O generations of vipers." Here's the Pharisees and Sadducees, the most religious people at that time in Jerusalem and Israel, and they come out just to see what was going on so they could make fun of it, mocking him. He says, O generations of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. He's saying, show me that you really, you know, the way the world looks at it, they want you to show them that you're saved. Show them the way you live, the way you act. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children on Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewed, bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down, cast into fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He says, he shall baptize you with, number one, the Holy Ghost, and with fire. And I talked about this about the charismatic Pentecostals. They say, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. I say, if you were baptized with fire, you wouldn't want it, brother. I can tell you that right now. How do you know it's two? Because whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, that's the Holy Ghost, and he shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So these are right there in that verse right there. You got three baptisms, got three of them. Now, I want to touch a little bit this morning on the baptism that Jesus Christ talked about, and go to Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is. Matthew 10. No, I'm sorry, it's Mark 10. I'm getting all messed up this morning. Here it is. Now, look in Mark chapter 10. I'm getting all mixed up this morning. Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters, it says, but ye shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters, mothers and children, and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid, and he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left. Here's Jesus Christ talking about his suffering, what he's going to go through. And disciples, just like children, just like we are, and they said, well, I want to sit on your right hand. I want to sit on your left. They were, I want to be great. I want to be somebody. And here Jesus Christ telling about what he's going to go through and how he's going to suffer. And all they could think about was themselves. But look at this. That's what, in that way we are. In God's plan, I mean, we read the Bible, we know God's plan. That whole thing is coming in God's plan and it's coming about. And all we can think of is us. Yeah. What am I going to gain from it? That's just like kids. And kids, you know, you'd be talking to little children, all they think about, you know, what? How about me? How about me? How about me? And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. And Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Here's a baptism. Jesus said, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink? He said in the garden, he said, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. That cup was the wrath of God. That was God's wrath being poured out on the Son for you and me. And Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye asked. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with, that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. We can. They didn't know what they're talking about. We can do it. As long as I get to sit on the right hand and left hand. Everybody wants the glory without no suffering. Everybody wants to go, you know, they want all the praise and everything without paying anything. And you're not going to get it without a cross. Without the cross, there is no crown. Without carrying your cross daily, following him, there ain't no crown. Everybody wants it easy. We all do. Our generations, as the generations go on, is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, 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 weaker. We want it easy. We want it my way. We want it everything handed to me that I don't have to go through anything. You read about the past history of the church. I'm talking about the Christian church, Bible-believing Christian church. You read about what they've went through. You think about this, Christians that founded this country. I said Christians founded this country and what they sacrificed so we could have freedom. And all we want is what we want, and we want it right now. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. He said, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? You know what that baptism is? That's a baptism of suffering. That's a baptism. Suffering. There's people right now going through suffering in this world, man. It's people going, I mean, some suffering is brought upon ourselves. But I'm talking about the baptism for the gospel's sake and for Jesus Christ's sake. They suffer for it. And it says, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When you put your life on the line for Jesus Christ and you lay it down, you say, I'm going to serve you, Lord, no matter what. I'm going to serve you. I don't care what. I don't care. I'm just going to serve you. He said, and in verse 39, they said, we can. They really spoke kind of real quick. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on the right hand and on the left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, it says they began to be much displeased with James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their guests, their great ones, exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your what? You want to be great in God's sight? You want to be great? Everybody wants to be great. Be a minister. Minister to the brethren, the sisters, and encourage people. To get up in God's sight is to get low. And the world says, step on people as you go up, step on them and just get up, you know. But God says, if you want to get great in my sight, get low. Get down. And that just goes contrary to our nature. It goes suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. I don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. But, you know, you say, well, and some people have a hard time just coming to church. And to me, it's, you know, sometimes you get up and you don't feel like it. You go, you know, you got stuff going on. You got, you know, problems and troubles and trials. And that's the test of your character when a Christian keeps going and serving God in the middle of their suffering, middle of their problems. As a baptism, he said, yeah, you're going to be baptized. They said, we can. And we go to the altar, we say, God, we want to be used by you. And God says, okay, then you really want to be used? You're going to go through it. Now, I'm not saying always. And you look at some people, you know, you think, man, they've got it. But you don't know what's going on.
That's right, man.
You don't know what's going on in their lives. I had a guy, like I said, last night, guy called me up, crying on the phone. Another guy called me up, crying on the phone. I prayed with him. And I told him, I said, hey, you can get through this. You can be a man. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a stand up for God. You can get through this stuff. Stop. Get it done. Just do it. Just do it. And, you know, the suffering sometimes is the hardest part. Going through stuff, you don't feel like it. You know, nobody wants to go through nothing for Jesus Christ. You know? And the other disciples were upset with him about James and John. But James and John was serious. I mean, when they said, we can, I believe they believed it. They believed it of all their heart. And we know John was right there when Jesus Christ was crucified. He was there. James was killed in the book of Acts. You know, he said, yeah, you're going to drink from the cup that I'm going to drink of. You're going to drink from it. And you're going to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. And if you read about the history of the disciples, most of them killed. John was on the Isle of Patmos. And they were, you know, they suffered. They suffered. He said, what did they suffer for? The kingdom of God's sake. They suffered for righteous sake. And, you know, you've got to make up your mind. And you said, well, I'm just not going to do that. I've had people tell me, he said, I've seen what you went through, your family and everything. You have places that happened. I said, but God turned around and blessed us.
Yeah.
We went through some storms. We went through some troubles. God turned around and blessed us because we stood by the storm and stood by the stuff. And what happens is, don't run. Don't run from it. I like what old brother, oh man, I can't think of his name, brother, somebody help me out. Clapped his hands. Bro, he would say, give yourself to suffering. That's contrary to our nature. Do things that you don't want to do. Read your Bible. You don't want to at times. But then you get, like I heard Jack Howell say one time, he said, man, you get an appetite for it. You start reading your Bible, you get wanting to know more, you know more. Never get to the place where you think you know it all. And I've seen Christians go through this stage in their Christian life. They're babes. When you're a babe in Christ, you're excited about Jesus Christ. You're excited about everything, about the Lord. You're just happy, and you wonder, why ain't everybody else is happy? Then you see people have been saved for 20 years, and you go, they look like they're about, you know, they got their frown and always griping and always upset, and you think, what in the world is the matter with them? They're saved. They've been saved 20 years. That ought to be good. They ought to be happy. That stuff rubs off on people, too. And I'd rather be like a little baby in the Lord and be excited about what God's done for me. And if I find myself not excited, I try to stir myself up and try to get stirred up about it, about how good God's been to me. You got to stir yourself up sometimes. But a baptism of suffering, woo! I know some Christians suffering, and for the good reason, for a good reason. Now, I don't judge, I don't try to, I try not, I used to. I try not to judge everybody and say, oh yeah, they're getting what they deserve. You know how we do? When you hear something about somebody backslid and they are out there and you look at them, you go, oh, they're getting what they deserve. Oh yeah, they're, God, give it to them. But the truth be known, we all deserve it. You get self-righteous. You get lifted up in yourself thinking that you're something when you're nothing. The Bible says you deceive yourself.
So you got to be careful about judging. So you know what I do? I've learned this. God, be merciful to him. As my brother and sister in Christ, help them, Lord. Get them back. That's what I've learned. I've learned not to get there and go, oh, they're getting what they deserve. Oh, yeah, give it to them. Yeah, I just burn them up, Lord. Just burn them up. Yeah. Wear their hide out. You know what he says? I used to watch my brothers and sisters get whoopings. He used to scare the fire out of me. And you know what? You know, in back of your mind, you know somebody might be getting a whooping. You just pray for them. I remember one time my brother got a whipping. We ran in the house and jumped under the bed, and my father come in. He had that water hose that he beat us with, and my brother was heavier than I was. I'm skinny. I slid under that bed. I got under there, and my brother, his butt was sticking out. And my father wore him out. Man, he was screaming in my face. That was torture right there, screaming in my face. Baptism of suffering.
We see our brother going through that. We should be fear.
You see a brother going through that, or sister, you put fear of God in you. I don't want to see, I really, really, God knows my heart. As he knows my way. I don't want to see nobody go through nothing. I really don't want to see Christians suffer. I hate seeing suffering. I hate it. I hate to see people suffer for their own stupidity. Really, I hate to see that. And you look at people and you go, well, they deserve what they get. We all deserve what we get, but pray God be merciful. Amen. Look in Mark chapter 12. Mark 12 and verse 50. No, that's wrong. Luke 12:50. We all enjoyed Thanksgiving, you know, the gathering and being able to just rejoice together and how good God's been to us. I tell you what, I like to see people rejoicing. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. For I am come to send fire on the earth. That's Jesus talking about. Look at this. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? He says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now I am straightly till it be accomplished. He's got his face towards that baptism. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. He says, from henceforth, there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son shall be against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter, her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye discern the face of the sky and the earth, and of the earth. How is it that ye do not discern this time? And he's talking about the baptism he's going to go through and all the stuff that he's going to suffer. And when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, he says, thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he haul thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into the prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart hence till thou hast paid the very last mite. So that's what I'm talking about, people, you know, man, getting things right. But the Lord talking about a baptism, he was going to have to be baptized. That's why I wanted to show you the baptism of suffering. Now, you say, where's the other baptism? The baptism of hell fire. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. I think we touched this last week. So, and I hope, how many of y'all could tell me right now, show me a verse where baptism, what Paul said about baptism. Can anybody show me a verse? Anybody show me a verse what Paul said about baptism? He said, I baptize none of you. But the household of Stephanus and so on. Anybody can show me that? All right, we'll go to that in a minute. But look in Revelation chapter 20. Here's another baptism. Here's a baptism of hellfire. And this, if you're dealing with somebody about being born again, getting saved, and you say, look, if you're not born twice, you die twice, and this is a baptism of hellfire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. That's a baptism. We also talked about another baptism. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's talking about the baptism that Moses and the children of Israel went through. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll finish up this today. But there are seven baptisms in the Bible. We went through Acts 2:38. We went to Acts 16. And then the Bible says there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. He said, well, the Bible says one baptism. Yeah, it's one baptism that's in the body, brings you into the body of Christ. That's one baptism. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. We're back up there. He said, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, there were also contentions among you." And there are always going to be contentions about baptism. People that don't believe the Bible, preaching the different doctrines, there's always going to be contention. "And this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Caiaphas and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. I baptize also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other." But mark this verse in your Bible. Look what it says. "For Christ sent me not to baptize," verse 17, "but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And then verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? And after this, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a what? A sign." You need to underline that verse in your Bible. Jews require a sign. "And the Greeks seek after wisdom. And it says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So, but Paul's saying, Christ sent me not to baptize, but preach the gospel. In the gospel, baptism is not a part of the gospel. The baptism is an ordinance of the church. The Lord's Supper and baptism. Baptism, we baptize people after they're saved. So there's a lot of misconception about baptism. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. If you're saved in here, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. When you ask Jesus Christ to save you, that's why something changed inside when you got saved. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "John truly baptized with water." He said John's baptism was just water. "But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So baptism is with the Holy Ghost. And when I got saved, the Holy Ghost baptized me into the body of Christ. You say, how were you baptized? By the blood of Jesus Christ. I was baptized in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. I was baptized by the Holy Ghost into Jesus Christ. And that's why you can't lose your salvation. If the Holy Ghost is inside you, God seals you. He seals you until the day of redemption. God puts a seal on you, and he circumcised you. He circumcised your body from your soul, and your soul is saved. Your body, you say, what happens if I go out and live the way I go back to my old life, and I go back to living the way I used to live, drinking, drugging, all that stuff, whatever I did, partying. Does that change anything about my salvation? Your salvation's still set. It does change something about your standing and your fellowship with God. And what happens is, to whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. God will chasten his children. And God will whoop you and warn you and warn you. And then finally, he'll just take you home. Or he'll just put you on the shelf where you just live for yourself and do whatever you want to do. And then you get to heaven, you'll find it, you'll be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And so you don't want to do that. You don't want that. You're sealed to the day of redemption. You say, where's that at? Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And the Bible tells you this, Ephesians 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We all can grieve the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is inside me, and the Spirit of God wants this body to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So he wants us to be more like Christ, to think like the Lord, act like the Lord, walk like the Lord, and have the mindset of God. And the way you get the mindset is by getting in this Bible. People say, what's the big deal about reading the Bible? As the more you read the Bible, you get God's mindset in your life. You start looking at things the way then you can really sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So you get this mindset that this world is not my home, man. And I'm just passing through. I'm going to try to take many as people as I can with me to know Jesus Christ and get to heaven. So you get that mindset in you, and the way you get closer to him, to walk with him, it's just like Enoch walked with God and he was not. The more you get closer to him, you get in this book, God sealed you for that reason. And he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He's saying, if you don't do that, you're sealed to the day of redemption. What it'll do, it'll affect your relationship with God. If you don't get that thing where you say, Lord, I forgive folks. I don't know. Bitter is like cancer. It'll eat you away. Amen. It'll eat you up. If you don't get rid of that stuff, it'll affect your relationship with God. It'll affect your relationship with other brethren and sisters, and you'll be like a time bomb ready to explode anytime. You got to get that thing right. And I can honestly say, I do not hate nobody but the devil. I hate my flesh, but I don't. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to hate the flesh, but we don't. We pamper it. We take care of it. We cleanse it. We say, I hate my flesh. But see, you got a lot of people, like the Catholic Church teaches that they have to purify themselves by mutilating themselves. They mutilate themselves. They cut themselves. They beat themselves. That's satanic. So you find teenagers cutting themselves, and they're doing that. They think, I need to suffer. No, it's satanic. Amen. You don't have to worry about suffering. If you try to live for God, you're going to suffer. You live for God, the world's going to make you suffer. They don't want to hear nothing. You'll find friends that you had for a lifetime will hate your guts because of why? You stood for Jesus Christ. So I know we're talking about baptism. But the Bible talks about you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and it says you're going to be sealed. So be sure that you keep yourself clean. Keep you clean. Amen? All right, we'll stop right there. Any questions? Anybody got any questions? How many of y'all know at least some of the baptism? Some of them. I know when Brother Maurice never went to Bible school, and when we ordained Brother Maurice, we had him up here, Brother Maurice studied, and he knew all the mysteries. He knew all the baptisms. He knew it all. I mean, he just knew it. I mean, he just flat out put it out there to you, and he studied. And the way you're going to learn that stuff is you got to study the Bible. You got to study it. It just don't, you said, well, it's in there. I can study anytime I want. What happens is if you don't have a regimen of day-by-day time that you spend time in the Bible, you will not do it. Because your flesh, you get so busy in this life, you get so doing so many things that you get so, you just get, I'll do it later. And then when later comes, you say, I'm tired. The flesh is always going to fight you from getting this book. Why? Because this book divides against the flesh. It's feeding the new man. So the flesh knows, your flesh knows that when you feed that newer man, that new man inside you, he's going to grow and he's going to put this flesh down. This flesh this morning I got up, the flesh says, oh, I'm too tired. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like doing those things. The flesh, and I, you know what the old new man inside me said? Shut up. You're going to do it, and I don't care what. You're going to do it because I like it. So you got that battle going on. And you got to make a choice. Am I going to serve God? Am I going to serve the flesh? Am I going to go to church? Or am I not? Am I going to read my Bible? I'm not. Am I going to honor the Lord? I'll tell you this. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that you worry about and you have need of and all the things that everybody concerned about, he says, I'll take care of it. Amen. Any questions? Anybody got any questions? All right. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. I pray you save that one today. Help them to come through these doors and get saved. Help us to get stronger and love you more. And we'll appreciate for what you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.